Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome, welcome to Verke Radio, iHeartRadio. This is Get Your Business Right Show with Michael Muse. We're here, from New York City because this is all about the power of women. But you know what? I'm excited today because this particular couple here, a power couple when it comes to love, a power couple when it comes to building an empire, and a power couple when it comes to building a legacy. I'm here to tell you, when you want to get the real deal about love, when you want to peel back the layers, kick back all the BS that's coming your way, they're going to give it to you real. They're going to give it to you raw. But guess what? They want to see you have the same success that they work hard for. Because guess what? There's nothing easy. You have to work for whatever you want to work for. But they show you that if you work hard and love is tops, and you can have what you want to have in a relationship. Let me introduce you to the one and only Miss Junis Rockman and Mr. Rock Rockman himself. How are you guys doing today?
What's up?
Hello, thank you.
Yes, sir. What's going on, my brother?
Hello, good evening.
Man, I'm excited to have a powerful couple on because one thing about my show, I have a lot of female listeners and they've been bombarded between social media, TV, and the images that they see, as you already know, they're not very positive. And so the narrative that we see and hear a lot of is that men are no good. And
dogs.
Yep, men are dogs. And women are no good. They're just looking for someone to take care of them. And looking for a sucker. And so I want the world to know that those are lies, those are myths.
Because
you and your wife, you are setting a new tone and you're creating an environment and a community of people who are learning and growing because you have a blueprint in place. And so as we talk about this blueprint, I just want to ask a little bit. I want to start with Junis first on just when it come to your schooling and working, being a therapist, how did it all start?
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate that, Mike. Hey, everybody, it's Junis. I'm so excited to be sharing with you all. So when I was like in kindergarten, I'll tell you, I grew up in Detroit. And I used to get in trouble because I would be outside till after the street lights came on. And some people know about when the street lights came on. You're supposed to come back in the house. But I would get in trouble because I would be sitting out on the curbside and I would be pretending that I was in a therapist's office or a psychologist's office talking to my friends about their problems at home. This is like 5 and 6 years old. So since I was really, really young, I knew that was something I wanted to do. My parents are kind of like, well, we think that you're a really good debater. You're good with words. We think you can make more money with law. So I said, okay, I'll be the up and coming Claire Huxtable. I made that my path for a while, went to law school for a while, and just realized that I was really instinctively, like for me, practicing therapy comes naturally. So I decided after I graduated from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, I took some time off. I've done work in media and journalism, and all that ties into me bringing mental health. I want to make mental health mainstream, make it a mainstream conversation in media and our communities and everyday homes. And so all of the experience I had working at Channel 50 News and at CBS News and all that, once I went to grad school, I went to school for master's degree in clinical mental health counseling.
Yes.
And so that led me to becoming a clinical psychotherapist and working now as an LPC intern, acquiring those hours and all of that. And so in that scope of work, I work specifically with relationships, marriage, and family therapy. And I do a lot of work around trauma recovery.
Okay.
Behavioral addiction.
Yes.
And then nutritional psychology. Sometimes we don't understand like the way that all those things are impacting who we are in our relationships.
You said nutritional psychology, right?
Yes.
So are you, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, because a lot of our moves. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because I want to ask, because, you know, when it comes to on that end, I'm not the sharpest nor the dullest. So I want to make sure I'm clear. So and this is my personal opinion here, but I just want you, being a professional, kind of clarify this for me. So being nutritionist, that aspect of it, are you pretty much saying that the foods we eat can play a big part in our behavior and the growth of our brain cells and just whatever diseases or whatever things we deal with in the mind plays a part? Okay.
See, you said I was the expert. You explained that really well. You really did.
Well, the difference is, hey, Junior, the difference is when I talk about it, they want me to do it for free. But when you talk about it, they got to pay. And that's a big difference right there. So, Rock. So, what, when it comes to relationships, where does your path begin?
So, man, it began, you know, years ago. Janice and I, we've been together for about 20 years now. You know, my story isn't similar to Janice in the sense that, you know, I had, you know, I was talking to people when the streetlights came on and off through the night. But one thing that was very important to me from a very, very, very young age. And when Janice and I met, we just began to build this beautiful relationship. And like you said, when we first started this talk, not because it was easy, but because we put in the work to build it to what it is. We began to look to us for mentorship and say, hey, you know, I see you guys have a great relationship. We're struggling in some areas in our relationship. Can you help us? And so we started helping and counseling and coaching and mentoring a lot of different couples just organically, just because they were looking to us for advice, seeking wisdom. Not that we had it all, but, you know, people just felt that they could, you know, share their feelings, thoughts, and emotions with us. So from that, we began to say, we said, well, hey, maybe we can actually do something with this. Maybe we can actually get paid by doing this. And so years ago, this was over a decade ago now, wow. We went through a life coaching certification through the Life Coaching Federation of the United States. We went through a Life Coaching Federation certification and became certified as life coaches. And that was kind of our beginning. So we started building a business. We started doing personal one-on-one sessions and coaching sessions with individuals and actually started getting paid from it. Then that led to different schools, ministries, different places calling us in to do marriage conferences and marriage retreats and marriage workshops. And then we grew that to where we started doing online webinars and seminars of marriage. And then eventually we wrote a book, 21 Days to the Marriage You Love. And so it just all organically came from just folks looking to us for advice. And we took that and built a business out of it. And then that led to the TV show and the regular relationship Rescue RX segments, which is now we're working on a new TV show. And it just all kind of built from this, you know, kind of small seed of just wanting to help other people.
Absolutely. And I know, like you said, your very first book is The 21 Days to a Relationship, right?
Yes, sir.
And so,
It circulated off of two books, 21 Days to Relationship You Love, 21 Days to the Marriage You Love.
Okay. And so real quick, let me ask you this from a woman's perspective. What's 2 points that a woman can really read from that book to really put her in a position to get rid of that toxic behavior and move on? What's 2 points that a woman should really embrace in that book?
You know, I think there's a couple of things. One of them is that we don't have as many marriage problems or marriage baggage as much as we do have individual baggage. And individual baggage we drag into the relationship or marriage. So a lot of times we're quick to blame and be like, if he would just do this, if he would just do that, it's his problem, it's his fault. But I think that a lot of it starts with becoming the change that you want to see. And I talk a lot about that in the book. And sometimes, you know, women are like, what? That's not what I want to hear. Like, let's talk about how he needs to grow up.
Yeah.
Okay. But on some level, we don't attract, and something else I say in the book is that we don't attract what we want. We attract who we are. So if you change what's on the inside, you'll change what you draw to you on the outside. And not only when you're trying to date, but in your relationship, you're constantly having to evolve and work on yourself and grow and mature and develop. And not just, you know, don't let your public appearance precede your private life. Try to get those two to match up. And so that takes a lot of work and a lot of humility, especially when you're working as a team. You can't be so independent that it's like, well, I don't need you. And you don't want to be codependent either. You want to become interdependent.
There has to be a balance.
Yeah, so I would say definitely looking at yourself, unpacking your own bags, doing your own work, finding out your own attachment issues, your own mom issues, dad issues, all of that. And then also working towards interdependence, where you're not codependent on that man. You're not so independent that you don't need him, but where you can learn how to have a degree of independence, but a degree in which you still rely on one another.
Exactly. That's excellent. And for you, Rock, what are 2 points that a man really need to embrace to really get that fulfilling love in a relationship and the marriage that he's looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. And people have asked me before, you know, when they see a relationship like ours over 20 years, they say, how do you make it work? And, you know, how do you keep a relationship together? And really the first rule. First of all. So it's really, really simple. And then the second thing is, don't make divorce an option. Be willing to work on whatever it is that you need to do as a man, whatever you need to do as a woman, to get the relationship to where it needs to be. It's going to take work. And oftentimes we look at individuals, we say it's her fault. You know, she says it's your best version of yourself. And then the relationship will take care of itself. But then the second thing is making sure you have your priorities in order. Oftentimes a relationship can suffer because we don't have the right priorities. Like as a man, we're out, we're grinding, as some people say. We're trying to make that dollar, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
That's right. We're out
there, you know, we're out there doing everything that we can. You know, we're putting in a lot of hours, but we have to remember the priority, you know, does you know, and don't listen to these songs, right? These songs will tell you, forget the woman, get the money, this, that, or the other. They say it a little more explicitly than what I just said. But
exactly.
Listen, you have to take care of your wife. You know, there's a spiritual, God should come first in your life, then your wife, then your children, then business. Then business and money, and then after that, you know, whatever else, extended family, those types of things. You have to set your life in a priority where you put first things first, right? But you also have to now keep in mind, going after your vision is very important. And having, like, you know, Janice allows me to do a lot to go after our vision. And I put in a lot of our work towards getting us to where we need to be. But we support each other as well. And so it's...
There was a project that I had taken working it with some patients in the treating opioid and heroin addiction. And I was literally working like 20-hour days. And so for that little phase of our life, this is like about a good 3-month project working in this clinic.
20-hour days might be a little...
No, when you wake up at 4 a.m. and you're going to bed around, you know, close to midnight.
But you weren't actually working. But she was putting in a lot of hours. I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to... Yeah, no. I hear you.
I think you two are kind of leading into my next question. Conflict resolution.
Yeah. I'm like building this entire, this whole scenario. I'm making it...
So this is.
You see how the
20-hour days. We're talking about the 20-hour days.
What was your next question, Mike?
So next question.
No, but like she was saying, she was. Let me finish this thought, Mike. Like she was saying, she was putting in a lot of work, and so I had to pick up the weight with the children. So I was picking up the children from daycare, cooking them dinner, getting them in bed. Like, I had to do my part so that she could get done what she needed to get done. And so now that project is over, and now I'm putting in a lot of work on a lot of different projects, and she's supporting me. So just that ebb and flow of just making the relationship work.
Okay, excellent. So let me ask you this question here. I'm going to start with you, Rock. When it came to sharing your vision with your wife, and for her to buy into your vision, that of course God gave you, but of course, if you don't sell it to her right, and that's the thing I think is really missing in a lot of relationships, a lot of men don't come sharing the vision on what they're going to do. So how did you share your vision with her for you? And on your side, Janice, what process did you go through to accept the vision and to really link hands with him to be that team? Because I see it twofold. I see men who may come with a vision and a plan, and a woman has been hurt and she doesn't trust. So if there were any trust issues, what did you do to be able to latch on to that vision?
Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing about one of the things that I'm really blessed with in my wife is she continuously stays linked up with me. So my vision is actually our vision together, you know, and honestly, a lot of men don't have that. And that's just a blessing that I have in my wife. Like she just teams up with me, man. Like whatever. It's just like, we just do most of our things together. So everything with the TV show, very young, because from very young age, I've been interested in media, and I used to be a part of the Detroit Film Act, old school, where you actually had to feed the film into the camera, like those old school 35mm okay. cameras, man.
Yeah.
And I've just been interested in film. And I used to always say when I was very young that I'm going to be on TV one day. Like, anybody that knows me from a very young age always said, man, I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be Joe. And so it has grown to this point to where that's exactly what I do. But the blessing that I have in my relationship is we kind of both have the same vision. Like, she just teams up with me, man. She is the greatest support that I've ever had. And a lot of, like, even a lot of my friends look to me like, man, your wife, like, she is down for whatever it is that you want to do. And it's really a blessing. Now, part of that, I don't know, maybe Janice can answer this question. Part of that could be based on how I treat her and how, like, do I present the vision to you in a certain way, or is it something that I do where you just support me in the way that you
I mean, I think some of it, so I'm a fourth generation entrepreneur. So, and shout out to Detroit and Lotte Life.
That's right.
Entrepreneur. Because my parents kind of modeled that Lotte Life for me early. So my parents, all I've ever known is them working together in business and then being up late at night, coming up with these crazy ideas that earn with lots of zeros behind him in the long run. So I think for me, when he shares his particular vision with me, I'm thinking more operations and logistics. Like, what is this going to look like on a practical day-to-day level? Like, I get all the big stuff with all the flair and all the glitz and all the glam, but what's going to be the skeleton behind it that holds it up, that holds the model up? And so he just had this idea that he wanted to do something, not only as a couple, but as a family. So he's like, no, the children on TV with us too. I'm like, okay, well, what is that going to look like practically? And what are our expectations going to have to be of them? They're going to have to keep up with their chores and with their grades. And so I do a lot of that kind of thing, the operations part of it. And then within myself, I have my own practice, private practice that I'm growing. So that also gives me my own personal fulfillment. It's outside of him. It's outside of the children. It's outside of being a momager and an administrator for all of these projects that he has going on. But I just, I don't know. I think we're a team. And if you know, a lot of times even when it comes to disagreements, it's like if one of you wins, you both lose because you're fighting for the same team. So I keep that mindset at the forefront.
And so my question is, so How do you guys separate at times, even just for a few hours of time, to kind of maybe disengage, get refreshed, recharge, come back? How do you guys handle that?
Oh, totally. That's a great question. So one thing that we do is very important, especially if you're in the type of relationship where you do a lot of work together. But even if you're not in a relationship where you do work together, it's very important for you to take time for yourself. And so that's something that Janice and I cherish. And so we're not able to do it all the time, but we try to make a point to have a day to ourselves without the children, without the spouse, just a day to yourself where you can do absolutely whatever it is that you want to do on an individual basis. Now, Janice, for example, she likes to relax at home. She likes to rest. She likes to just be at home, taking care of the home. And so she likes for me to take the kids out of the house. So, you know, at least one day a week, I try to do it at least one day a week. Sometimes we miss, but we try to make a point to do it. I'll take the children out of the house, and she just has a day to herself where she can just relax at home. Nobody's around. She can just do her own thing.
Or look for me a few mornings a week around 5:30 a.m., and I'll be in the hot yoga
studio. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, hot yoga. Well.
So it's important to be nurturing
self-care.
I call it individuation, where you have your individuation, but you still have a couple shit that you're nurturing, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in addition to that, I like to be out. I like to hang out. I like to get together with my guys. And every once in a while, I kind of strategically do this. I'll put certain guys together that I know kind of have my thoughts and things like that. And I'll get a group of guys together and we'll just go out and have a mastermind. Just go out, sit around, you know. There's, you know, a couple of different places you can go, just have a bite to eat and just sit around and talk business or talk, whatever it is. But that's my thing. That's my way of letting down, my way of getting out. And we try to do that regularly. It's very important. That's probably one of the most important things that you can do in a relationship is make sure you recharge. That's right. Like our way of recharging, because that way you can come back. Like Janice got up this morning, 4:00 in the morning. She hit up her hot yoga. You know, she came back to the house. You could tell she just had a different energy about her. She was charged up. She was ready to go. And that thing, when you have that time to recharge, you're able to come back into the relationship, come back to the family, just a much better person.
It's important to encourage each other to do that. Like, I'll be like, get out and do something for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not all about us. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
So encouraging each other to do that and not being selfish. Like, we need you here. We need you here. Because it can be really draining.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, if you have children or not, it can be draining. Right. That person is always pulling on you, needing you in that way. That's where we talk about that codependence versus interdependence.
And so how do you two maintain the balance with the kids now? Because it's one thing when you two working together all the time, but now you got kids. Yes, and of course, they got their own individual personality, and each of them are different. How you deal with one, you can't deal with the other one the same way. So how do you balance that out to make sure their needs are met and that God is still first and you're still on that mission and on that path?
Yeah.
I think
we're still trying to figure that out.
I mean, one thing we try, we're intentional about trying to have a parent-centered household and not a child-centered household.
Right.
So even though we are now outnumbered, because now it's 3-2, once we had the third one, we really want to try and have it where every day, like he said, once a week, we have our own individual time. Once a week, we have some time as a date. And then we try and spend time with each of them. Mommy, son, time, mommy, the idea of perfection, because to be on air, like several of us at one time, the children were supposed to be on there too, and one of our children threw the keys to the car and hit him under the couch. So we could not find the keys to get out the door. We were calling station, like, we're on the way, we're trying our best. This guy has a key, and he was like two, you know, he probably thought it was funny. He's got a sense of humor, but we got there in the nick of time. We made it happen. We made it fun. Another time we went on air and one of our children decided they didn't want to say anything. They begged us to be on TV for weeks at a time.
Not say a word.
They helped us write the show and then they got on there and they stared at the camera wide-eyed. So it is really a hustle. It's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot, you know, and they have their own individual interests, like you said. So, I mean, you know, I will say this at the beginning of every morning, you look for any one of us Rockmans, any five of us, and we're going to be on our knees first thing. Before we, as soon as we roll out the bed, literally there's a mat on the floor with those children, they pray and they meditate. First conversation you have.
Yes, you definitely sound like you definitely saw that video that Denzel did when he was talking with those college students in theater arts, and he said, "Hey, what you have to do is put your shoes way up under the bed. So when you wake up, you have no choice but to get on your knees to get them.
That's right.
And you take that time and get in prayer."
They have a mat to support. You have a conversation with anybody else, connect with creation, connect with God, with divinity.
And it's interesting you mentioned that video because that's exactly what I was thinking about.
Oh, wow.
And one of the first things that I do in the morning, Mike, is I roll out of the bed and I get on my knees. And I got that from watching that Denzel video. Like he says, put the shoe way under the bed. So you got to get. And I said, man, if it's good for him to get on his knees every single morning and pray, it's good enough for me.
That's right.
Well, when you have so many things coming at you in one day, so many emails, so many inboxes. We're doing KUT in Austin. We're doing NPR radio here, you know, broadcasting to so many homes. And, you know, it's just like you really want to get that connection. It's like plugging into a wall, plugging into that power source. You don't want to sales get too low. So we would rather give and live and work out of our overflow, not just fullness, but overflow.
Absolutely. And so how did you guys get started with Relationship Rescue RX?
Yeah. Like I say, you know, it kind of organically started where just folks were just coming to us for you know, advice, mentorship, coaching.
So when we got certified in 2008, then we launched our private practice.
Yep.
And we noticed that there was a huge need for relationship work. And we also noticed that most of the people in the industry that were doing it were not doing it as a couple.
Right. and that's what a lot of people like about our perspective is that we bring a male and a female.
Exactly. You got to bring that yin and the yang.
Look at individuals. You got to have yin and yang, man.
That's right.
And that's what's unique about what
that we create. That was our edge. We knew that was our edge.
Because typically you see a female, she has a family somewhere.
May or may not be in a relationship.
May or may not be in a relationship. You know, or you see a male doing his thing. Like, for example, I remember when I knew that we could really do something with video. And it was a popular radio show. I won't mention who it was. And they had a lady on there and they said, she's going to be our relationship expert. Now, I'm not saying that a person that's had a divorce can't be a relationship expert. I'm not saying that at all. But this lady was single. She had just come out of a divorce and she had wrote this book about relationships. And now she's going to be the relationship expert. And I was like, man, like, why can't we have relationship experts? And I'm not calling myself an expert, but why can't we have relationship experts in relationships that actually work?
Yes.
Like, what a concept, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, I'm like, Janice and I, we have a relationship. It works.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but we work at the imperfections and we try to be up for, we try to be, you know, with people, like, hey, it's not about it being perfect. It's about you just doing the work that it takes to have the best relationship.
Yeah, we just noticed there was a curiosity about it. So we did a college tour, and we just noticed that a lot of the principles that we were teaching, they were duplicatable at elementary schools, at colleges, you know, when you're between 40s and 60s. And so we're like, okay, we really have something here. So we started packaging it and putting sort of a blueprint together because so many people are telling us, we know that we have this idea of what we want a good relationship to be, but we don't feel like we have a roadmap. So we really found out that your relationship with yourself determines your relationship with God, your relationship with other people, your relationship with food, with money, with sex, with work, everything. It's all that's relational, right? And it starts within. And so that's where the concept of the relationship rescue came from.
Well, you guys are definitely exciting. I mean, from your book, Relationship Rescue RX, and even your own private practice. And you have this new show. And I know right now you can't discuss the name, but what is going to be the premise of the show? And what are you looking to accomplish?
Yes.
Yeah. So one thing that we're shifting. So we've been doing a regular segment on CBS here in Austin for about 3 years almost four years. And then now we're doing a regular segment on NPR radio as well. And one thing that we learned was that our message is much broader than just relationships. It's really about life enrichment. How can you be the best version of yourself? How can you live the best life you can live right where you're at, right? Not about like, you got to have this, you got to have that, you got to go bigger and go higher. Right where you are in your life, how can you live your best life right now?
So we'll be giving like I like to call it bite-sized wisdom, on how to maximize various quadrants of your life. So sometimes we look at like, my life is great or my life is terrible. But why don't you break that life into quadrants? How are you doing spiritually? Mm-hmm. How are you doing physically? How are you doing financially, emotionally, mentally, socially, economically, occupationally? So we're going to talk about those various quadrants and give specific steps on how to enhance your life at any level that you're at. So as Rock said, life enrichment. So a lot of what people have seen of us on television, on radio, we're putting it.
It's just going to be more of that. Like what you've seen in the segment, all the things that you've seen there, we're just going to build that into a full, robust show.
And we've got a really cool team of people working with us right now to help us to do some revamping of our book. So we'll actually be teaching principles out of that. So you'll be able to grab that and take that and do your own course if you want. But it could be something that you take with you as a daily roadmap.
Right.
Sort of like a life guide.
Well, that is absolutely powerful. And we're getting close to the end of the show here. And so how I want to end is pretty much what's one thing that you would like, one word of advice you each one give you, Rock, for men and for you, Junas, to give for women?
So for men, just, you know, be the best version of yourself. The only person that you're in competition with is yourself. You know, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't have what other people are doing. Just continue to improve upon yourself. Challenge yourself based on who you were in the past and who you've become and who you are becoming. And just be the best version of yourself. That's all I can say.
It's funny. I was thinking along the same lines with I was thinking of the quote, comparison is a thief of joy. So to put on those horse blinds, like you're running your own race, and the only person you're competing against is the best version of yourself. And, you know, for a lot of women too, you know, it's okay to sit down with someone, get a good counselor, get a good coach, get a good therapist. Our body traps stress. You know, we trap stress in our body. We trap traumas in our body. And then we keep reliving those things or creating our own chaos. So be aware of where we're creating our own chaos and be willing to deal so that you can heal.
Yes.
So when you can heal your life, you can create the life that you really want, the life that you desire.
So you say, if you know your life, you can create your life.
Yeah, but you gotta, like, you know, sometimes we sweep everything under the rug.
That's right.
You gotta pull the rug up. Sometimes the rug is too full.
Pull the rug up and deal with the hard issues.
Heal so you can heal.
That's right.
Well, you know what? I definitely have to bring you guys back on because you guys are truly making it happen, especially being born and raised in Detroit, out there in Austin, Texas, making it happen. And the beauty part about the internet, you're able to share your message and you're not just confined to your local area with online courses that you have and even a medium of webinars and video, you're able to reach people who need your help. And so I definitely want to applaud both of you for bringing that energy, bringing God's love and his power and everything and that commitment you bring in to set that example, because that's what we need. That's what our children need. They need to see that they have parents, they see people who are fighting, not fighting in a bad way, but fighting to make sure that it's in alignment. And so I want to thank each of you so much. So how can the audience get reach out to you? Because I know when people hear this and they hear both of you talk, they're like, wow, I want you guys to mentor me in my relationship. I need help. So how can these powerful Nubian women, these powerful Black kings get in contact with you?
Yeah, please just reach out to us. Just go to therockmans.com. You can email us at info@therockmans.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook as well at The Rockmans. So we look forward to hearing from you. We'd be happy to come into your city and do a live event. So just reach out, and we're here to serve. You know, the greatest leaders are the greatest servants.
That's right. You hit nail on the horse right there. It's so important, service. You know, Martin Luther King talked about it. Gandhi talked about it. And of course, Jesus himself said, hey, the greatest among them must be a servant, you know, must serve. Right. So I just want to thank both of you for coming on with your wisdom, with your insight, and just the excellence in the example that you're setting, not just for your peer group, because I'm sure there's some older couples who come to you and say, hey, we wish we had together like you too. And so, and it's just about you guys are changing the narrative of marriage, and the world needs to see it, feel it, taste it, and take it in their heart, and they can, so we can create strong families that thrive and survive no matter what happens. So I thank both of you for coming on. I appreciate both of you. And of course, you come to Detroit, I definitely see you. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your kind words. Very generous. God bless.
Appreciate you, brother.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Muse, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. I'm here to tell you, when it comes to overcoming your fears, there's not an option. And you can reach out to me at text 5885RIGHT. And that's R-I-G-H-T. That's text 5885, the word right. R-I-G-H-T. I got a free gift for you because I love you. God loves you. Guess what? There's nothing you can do about it. So I'll see you next time. This is on VerK Radio, iHeartRadio. Next week. See you.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.